Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, who is one of our guests today, and also our guest Susan Statham. They have been here discussing the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts 2017, taking place on November 3rd and 4th. And we're going to find out a little bit more about it now. Felicity, I believe you're going to tell us a little more about the workshop schedule and what listeners can expect to find.
Yes, well, I'm not going to be able to tell you about all of them, but there are a number of workshops that you can choose from. Some of them will be in the afternoon, so some of them in the morning. All these workshops and the whole festival will be in St. Peter's Church at 240 College Street. And as many of you may know, they have wonderful facilities that we are looking forward to using. So anyway, back to the workshops. You may be interested in this one. Roots for the Rootless, it's called. Peggy Ayers invites you to come to Roots for the Rootless and explore how our modern rootless state came to be, tracing our family tree. She'll give you information on DNA testing, genealogy, epigenetics, and the benefits of ancestral connection. Peggy is the author of Ancient Spirit Rising, Reclaiming Your Roots and Restoring Earth Community. Or you can try memoir writing. Diane Taylor will help you write the story of your life or a slice of it. Many opportunities to write will occur and to listen to others read their work. Themes include love, loss, and lessons learned. Diane is a very experienced workshop giver, and I'm sure if you take that one, you'll enjoy it. And here's another one. This is given by Melody Crow, an elder at Oldville. It's called The Relationship Between Land, Language, and Culture. The relationship of the land, indigenous language, and worldview will be a focus of interactive discussion. Melody will also talk about the effects on her community's language of over 100 years of residential schooling and what it may mean in a time of truth and reconciliation. Why is it so important that indigenous voices be heard telling their own stories? You may like to know that Melody has won many awards for her work preserving the Ojibwe language and expanding its use. Susan will talk about her own workshop and those of artists Roseanne Dolan and her partner.
Thank you, Felicity. So I'll start with the art experience, which will be with Roseanne Dolan, Sherry Turner, and Lisa Yiannopoulos. I'm sorry if I've mispronounced that one. Art for the whole family. Anyone over 7 years of age may register, and you'll be working with mixed media, which will be provided. The workshop participants will make an 8x10-inch collage on the theme of Canadian images, and it should be lots of fun. For my own, it's called Making Faces. I am a portrait artist. I recently completed a series called The Nation Builders. I did 12 portraits of Canada's former prime ministers for a place called Gallery Q in Cavan, Ontario. In creating these, the personality of each prime minister was brought out through their accomplishments, through representational images of their accomplishments. So in Making Faces, the participants are going to learn how to bring out the personality behind the face of their own face and the face of the faces of those they who will sit still long enough for them to do a drawing. So that should be lots of fun. And most of the supplies will be available for those who are participating. And the information about these workshops will be available on our webpage.
In total, there'll be 8 workshops, one of which will be a photography workshop. And in relation to that, I would point out that we have a public Facebook page, Spirit of the Hills, and they are going to run a photography contest in September and October. And I think that will be a lot of fun because they're looking for everybody to join in. Another thing to know about the festival is that we have been working hard on the anthology Hill Spirits 3. So, Gwyn, tell our listeners about the anthology.
The anthology is called Hill Spirits 3 because it is, in fact, the third time that we have got together and put together writings of writers in all of Northumberland and the region. And this one is a little special in as much as we are also honoring Canada's 150. So a lot of the stories, in fact, the majority of them, have some connection to Canada in some way. Now, the book itself is very varied. It's not all prose. We have short stories, we have nonfiction, we have memoir, we have essays, we have poetry, and photography as well. So there's a good mix in there, something for everybody, the kind of book that you can have around for years to come whenever you need to have a little bit of a read. It is going to be launched on the Saturday evening, and you'll be able to hear some of the contributors read their piece from the book. So that should be very entertaining, and we encourage you, obviously, to buy a copy. Also included in the anthology are two contest winners, the prose contest winner and the poetry contest winner. This contest was held in the early part of the summer, and the two winners are appearing in the anthology. So we congratulate them and hope you'll enjoy their pieces too.
Well, how about us hearing a little bit from the anthology? And we've got two contributors to the anthology sitting with us today. In fact, we've got three, but I'm being very modest and keeping out of this. So I'm going to ask Susan and Gwyn to read from their submissions to the anthology. Gwyn is going to read a poem, I believe, and Susan is going to read part of her short story.
My short story is called The Revenant, and it begins thusly. The research, planning, and execution had taken her 40 days, but in just 40 minutes she would learn the measure of her success. She inhaled deeply, exhaled slowly. All would be well, she told herself. Paintings are an extension of the artist, and for Agnes, her portraits were like multicolored offspring who, after weeks of doting care, were sold into captivity. And as an artist who lived to work but also worked to live, she was familiar with the melting pot of emotions that accompanied the sale of each canvas baby. Excitement, anxiety, regret, and gratitude. Ben, her neighbor, stepped from his apartment just as Agnes locked her door. "Hey, thanks again for dinner last night." He pointed at the folded rectangle of cardboard leaning against the wall. "Is your painting in there?" "Yes, I had to use this packaging a framer gave me because the painting's too big for any of my portfolios. Not very professional looking, but it'll only fit between the back and front seats of my car, and it needs some protection." "It'll work." He took a closer look. "Hey, and it's even got a handle." Agnes struggled to raise the corners of her lips. "Oh, don't look so worried. The portrait's the most important thing, and you did a stellar job. He's like a revenant."
"A what?"
"Someone you brought back from the dead." Her face involuntarily puckered. "Ew." "But in a good way," said Ben. "In fact, we had a chat last night." "Who's we?" "Your masterpiece and I. While you were in the kitchen getting dessert, I went into your studio." Agnes eyed him suspiciously. "I just wanted one more look. But next thing you know, I'm asking him about the birth of our country, life as a Canadian prime minister, and if that collar is as uncomfortable as it looks." Agnes admitted she sometimes talked to her subjects. "But the important question is," she said, "did he answer you?" Ben gave her a look of disdain. "Of course not." And then his face softened. "But I really think he wanted to." She joined in his laughter. "Thanks, I needed that." And as she stepped into the elevator, and before the door slid closed, she heard him call out, "I want to hear all about it when you get back." While driving to the gallery, Agnes imagined possible scenarios. Her favorite was the odd jaw drop. But she'd be almost as happy with a congratulatory handshake or "Excellent work, Miss Lamont." Even a dismissive "Yes, very good" would be better than any version of "This is not acceptable." But at her most imaginative, Agnes could not have conjured up what actually happened.
Ooh.
Well, that's a good point to leave us hanging. So Gwyn's going to read us Notches.
Notches. Outside my window, my garden declares itself a Tom Thompson painting. Blue spruce hangs heavy, each branch white-gloved, square-fingered. Tree shadows dance purple on snow. Barely dawn, a pale orange sky backlights the birch, a swaying golden head in early morning light. I hold up a clementine to the pane and picture it as the sun. This clementine skin is thin, clings fast. It has travelled a long way, is old. When I was a child, a clementine tree grew outside my window. Nachis, we called them, over there in Zimbabwe. In November, when the rains finally broke, great clouds pregnant with water released upon the earth. The world became mud. People, cars, and streets were awash with it. Frogs bubbled from its depths. Yet, beyond my window, through glass water, just visible, the orange Nachi suns. Today the air is tight with cold. I dress in layers, zip on my boots, take up a bucket of kitchen scraps to empty in the compost. Snow squeaks in protest, its surface forever scarred by my passing. I sweep the black composter with mitted hand. The snow is dry, it's that cold. I lift the lid, toss in Nachi skins, watch them fall, so far from their roots, their beginnings. No longer young, basking under an African sun, welcoming the rain. They have journeyed across the ocean, drawn their skins tight about them in this cold north. They have sustained and nourished. Rest now on the compost pile, knowing that there were moments when they were the sun.
Many thanks to Susan and to Gwen for that introduction to Hill Spirits 3. We've been talking about the Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts, to be held at St. Peter's Church, 240 College Street in Coburg, on November 3rd and 4th. And we hope we've given you some idea of how exciting an event it's going to be and that you'll be interested in coming. We'll be releasing much more information about the festival in the next months to come. Go to our Facebook page, Spirit of the Hills, public page, for more information and updates, or visit www.spiritofthehills.org and look at the festival page there. Tickets to the festival will be available online this month, and in October, of course. And listeners, if you would like to connect with us and make comments, queries, or suggestions about who we might interview in future programs, please leave your comment at our website, www.wordonthehills.com. If you've missed a program or would like to listen to one again, you'll find all our broadcasts archived at the website, too. You can listen to them anytime and from anywhere. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, right here on Word on the Hills, Sunday at 1 p.m., repeated Thursdays at 1 a.m., on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio.